Okay, good morning. Today's daf is daf Ayin Gimel in Avodah Zarah. Okay, we're a little bit behind. We're 9 days on the base, and we're finishing up one of the more basic discussions that takes place in Avodah Zarah, and that's the discussion of Nitzok, of a stream. The Gemara's discussion about a Nitzok really takes place. It took place earlier in the Masechta, took place yesterday, and it's the Mishnah in Taharos. The Mishnah in Taharos basically says there's no such thing as Nitzok, that when you have a stream and the stream's going down, and the stream going down, either the stream goes vertically down or the stream goes down in a diagonal slope. Either way, the Mishnah Taharos in Taharos says that it doesn't create a connection. Right? That's the Mishnah Taharos. It seems to be a pretty closed-ended discussion, but what the Gemara entertains over here is that maybe things are different for Yai Nesach. Maybe because Yai Nesach, we're more machmir in general, by Yai Nesach, we really want to stay away from Avodah Zarah. So maybe in the world of Tum and Tahara, maybe there's no such thing as a kiluach, as a nitzok, as a stream being a connection, but in the world of Yai Nesach, it may in fact be a connection. The Gemara yesterday quoted the opinion of Rav Huna, right? And he says that it is a connection. Rav Huna says that it is in fact a connection. Okay, the principal debater on Rav Huna, right? Who argues with him? A number of people. Maybe Rav Nachman, I want to say. All right, doesn't matter. Okay, where we left off yesterday is trying to find proofs for or against it. Tashma, we're going to start in the middle of the Amud. Ayin Beis Amud Beis. The first word in the line is Mina, and we continue from there with the words Tashma. Yeah, it's exactly where we left off yesterday. Perfect. Tashma, the Gemara says, come in here. Hama'arim echavas labor. Kiluach hayored misfas chavas lamata asar. Okay? It's a brisa, and the brisa says that when you're pouring from a barrel into a pit, okay, we don't know exactly yet who's pouring, what's being poured, okay? Certainly we know this. There's some isser involved. The brisa says the kiluach, the actual stream from the lip of the barrel into the pit is going to be forbidden. Hmm. Okay. Just the stream. Now that's very strange. In other words, the wine from the barrel, which is where the source of the wine is from, that's fine. The wine in the pit is aser. Only the stream is going to be forbidden. So look, I mean, the truth of the matter is, even within the discussion that nitzok is a chibur, that the flow is considered a connection, it's just difficult to understand. The brisa is very hard to digest because you would then say that everything should be aser. Okay, so stay tuned. Tirgum Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes gives a very innovative pshat altogether in this brisa. Va'ovid kochavim ha'ma'ara de'asi mikochav. So Rav Sheshes gives such an innovative pshat. You know what the problem is over here in this case? There's no yai nesach yet. What happened was the guy poured it. Oh, and when the guy pours it, it comes from his koach, it comes from his strength. You'll remember we learned not that long ago at the end of the fourth parak, the idea of kochel. The idea is it was a daf samach, I think, right? The idea that when a guy pours, it's like he's touching the wine, right? Remember, we've talked about this many times. The guy picks up a bottle of wine, that's not touching the wine. That's touching the bottle. That's fine, right? If the bottle's sealed, that's fine. That's not a problem whatsoever. The problem is when he opens up the bottle and he actually touches the wine itself. That's when the wine becomes yai nesach. However, we also learned that if the guy pours, pouring is like touching. This is what's called koach. It's manipulating the wine in such a fashion that it's ki'ilu, it's like he touched the actual wine. So the Gemara over here gives such an innovative pshat. You know what the pshat is? He poured it, and that's why the wine that comes out, the stream that comes out, is asar. The Gemara says, okay, but let me understand a little bit better. Yovi kochama ma'ara afilu gava dechavisa nami mitzer. So, good question. So if that's true, that pouring is considered touching, so then why don't we say that the wine inside the barrel should be asr as well? And the brisa does not say that. The brisa says only the wine, only the stream that comes out. So the Gemara gives a very fundamental answer. Koach dovi kochavim midrabanan hu. Look, this idea that koach is like touching, that's a din derabanan. Meaning min ha-Torah, touching means touching. You have to touch the wine in order to render it yai nesach. And this is not touching. Okay, but the Rabbanan looked at koach as if the guy is touching, but it's a din derabanan. So whenever you have din derabanan, you can have limitations on the din derabanan. So kocha dovi kocha med derabanan hu daser. How hu de nafik lebrai gazru be rabanan? How hu de lagavai lo gazru be rabanan? Very fundamental. The isur derabanan of koach, of pouring, only goes on the liquid that comes out. But the liquid that remains inside the bottle is in fact going to be okay. Okay. Lamaisa, that would mean that if you have wine and, you know, it's not Yayin Mevushal, so it means it's subject to Yayin Esech, if you had a guy who, for whatever reason, mistakenly poured it, so that which was poured out is also, but the remainder of the bottle is in fact going to be permissible. Okay.
Did we just assume the remainder wasn't shaken? That whole thing we learned before.
Even shaking. In other words, he's got to put his finger in. He's got to touch it. Amalu Rav Chista, once again now, on the front of whether or not Kiluach is considered, Nitzok is considered, not Kiluach, whether Nitzok is considered Chibur, a flow is considered a connection, the Gemara at this point in time leaves the question unresolved. We have not yet formed a conclusion in terms of whether or not the flow is considered a connector. The previous case in the Braisa now, it's not talking about flow at all. It's talking about where the guy poured it. That's not a discussion within flow. Rav Chista talks to his wine sellers, and Rav Chista, it's funny, all the Amorayim are having conversations with their wine sellers in terms of giving them advice. Here's how you do it, here's how you don't do it. Right? Wine sellers need a lot of rabbinic supervision. Rav Chista talks to his wine sellers, ki kailis lacham alav kochavim katfe ketufe inami naftse in the food state. So Rav Chista says to his wine sellers, look, when you pour your wine to your non-Jewish customers, make sure that it's never a connecting stream, meaning pour but then quickly retract so that the flow is not a continuous flow. That is what Rav Chista says to his wine sellers. Rashi writes very uncharacteristically, and this is the halacha. Meaning when Rav Chista is telling his wine sellers, I don't want it to be continuous flow. So what Rav Chista is essentially saying is, because if it's a flow, then it's a connection, and then you're going to have a problem, right? And look at Rashi. Rashi in Divra Maskel Ketufei, right in the middle of the Amud in Rashi. Ketufei, it's the last word in the line. She yifsok rosha elyon shenitzok kodem sheyagir rosha tachton lekli ha'ovei kochavim v'inaga mikame de lifsok rosha elyon sulo mehani kituf de'itzelahu benitzok. Because it's connected through the flow, all the wine in the barrel, wherever you're pouring from, is in fact going to be usher through the mechanism of flow, of Nitzok. The sphere le Nitzok Chibor, Rav Chista says that Nitzok is considered a Chibor, and then the next two words of Rashi, the last two words of Rashi, V'chein Halacha. And that's in fact the Halacha, says Rashi, that Nitzok is in fact a Chibor. Good. Who disagrees with Rashi? His grandson. Okay? Won't be the first time. Rabbeinu Tam, on the opposite side of the page, Rabbeinu Tam cites many proofs that, and he disagrees that it's not considered a connection, and that's not the halacha. Most Rishonim, the Rif, and most Rishonim follow Rashi. And they say that Nitzok is a Chibor. And look, I mean, in Rashi's defense, that's exactly what Rav Chista tells his wine pourers. Don't pour in a continuous stream, because otherwise it's going to be Aser. I'll come back, I'll show you later on one of the proofs that would favor Rabbeinu Tam's position. But Rashi says that a flow is considered a connection. Amalu Rava Lahanit Shefuche. Rava also gives advice to his Jewish workers who pour wine from one kli to another. Kishav chisu chamalo likar rav dekocham lesayah ba'adaychov. Look, when you pour your wine, you have non-Jews around you, don't let them help you pour. Now, just to be clear about this Gemara, if a Jew and non-Jew both poured at the same time, interestingly enough, that which is being poured is not forbidden. Now, I know just a minute ago I said that koach renders the wine yayin esech. It's as if the guy touched it, but that has to be koach, meaning totally his own koach. If it's an assist, if a Jew and non-Jew work together, that's not considered koach. He's only assisting, and that doesn't render the wine yayin esech. Rava, when he talks to his wine people, he says, look, when you pour, you shouldn't have the guy help you. Why? Dilma mishtalisu v'shadisu le'aleha V'ka'asi mikochal v'aser. Because the problem goes like this. What may end up happening is that in the course of pouring, you're going to get so tired, you're going to allow the entire burden of the barrel rest on his shoulder. You're not going to be helping him at all. Now it falls under the category of koach, and now the wine is going to be forbidden. There was wine that went through some sort of siphoning tube. Right? Gishta umvaki uvas gishta. Right, Rashi describes this like a regular siphon tube, where you know you suck it in, and then the wine starts flowing through the tube, and it flowing now from one container to another through a siphon. Good. Also, v'kochavim anachadei agishta. Along comes a guy, right? If here is where the tube is coming from, and then it goes into another vessel, the guy touched the outpouring, the outflow, right? And what was his ruling on this? Also, v'kochavim anachadei agishta asur asrei rava lekulei chamra. So Rava says, yeah, everything is going to be aser. Meaning, even where the source of the wine is coming from, it's going to be aser. Amalei Rav Papa la Rava, v'amalei Rav Ada bar Masna la Rava, v'amalei la Ravina la Rava. Okay, three versions of who was speaking to Rava, but whoever was speaking to Rava asked Rava the following question. B'mai benitzok? Yeah. So what are you saying over here? You're saying that not only is the wine that he actually touched going to be aser, but if you go back to the siphon and you go back to the source, that wine is going to be aser. So you're telling me nitzok is in fact a connection, shamina nitzok chibur. And the Gemara's response is shani hasam de kule chamra agishta uvaz gishta gerir. So the answer that Rava gives is no. This is more than nitzok. This is a flow. This is as if he touched the barrel itself, right? Put this down. Another proof for Rabbeinu Tam. Not another one. I haven't showed you one yet. This is the first proof for Rabbeinu Tam that a flow is not considered a connector. Because look what just happened. We had a siphon. We had a siphon. And the wine was flowing from one to another. And Rava says when the guy touches the outpouring, the outflow, the wine is going to be aser. And the Gemara immediately jumps at Rava. Oh, do you mean that a nitzok is considered a connection? And Rava said, no, it's not considered a connection. But over here it's different. Because it's part of the barrel because the flow is such a strong flow. In other words, you see Rava's recoil. He says, no, 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 I don't hold nitzok as a chibor, but this case is different. So this is check for Rabbeinu Tam that the Gemara's conclusion is nitzok is not considered a chibor. Okay. Amar Mar Zutra, more on this topic. Amar Mar Zutra b'Rei Rav Nachman, kinishkinin share. Kinishkinin is permissible. Oh, I don't know what this thing is. Rashi describes it. I don't quite see it. We'll see. Let's see Rashi together. Let's see if we can make heads or tails of this.
Like a many straws in
wine. It's something like that. Kli racha v'yeshlo shnei kanim o shlosha yotzot mitzido. It's a wide vessel that has a lot of kanim, a lot of reeds, a lot of tubes. And when you pour wine into this type of receptacle, all the little reeds fill up. It's a communal punch bowl with, I guess that's what it is, with built-in straws. Right, but it's not that the straws, right? No one on the tape can see this. It's not that the straws are like up like this. The straws are more like parallel with the thing, so that when you fill it, the straws immediately fill up.
You know, really, I think they're really the like that. Just a straw.
Well, you're drinking from the straw, right?
I think they're really like up because it's on the barrel like this, so the pressure is pushing the wine
right
up like that.
Correct. Okay, so right. So in other words, so that when you fill up the barrel, the straws get filled up. And everybody can sit there at the same time and drink from this vessel. Okay? It's very romantic. So Mar Zutra b'Rei Rav Nachman says, you can have many people drinking from this at the same time. Even Jew and non-Jew. Now, I know, by the way, a lot of you pointed out to this to me in the past. You know, it's funny. We very often we talk about the whole purpose of Yayin Nesach and Stam Yenam is to curtail any type of
intermingling.
Yeah. Yeah. And over here, like the Psak of Rava, that everyone can drink from this at the same time, and we're gonna deal with the technicalities. What about, you know, what about the issues of you know, his spit back and so forth and so on, and we're gonna have such a technical discussion, and meanwhile we kind of seem to be missing the whole point. Right, they're all sitting around, they're all drinking from this utensil, and that's the main point why Stam Yenam is us, aside from the Nisuch aspect as well. So it's okay.
Must be a business deal.
Okay, so let's say it's a business lunch. Now, right. Oh, very good. Right. I was about to point that out, Danny. Excellent. Just give me a moment, because I will come back to that. The Gemara says you could drink from it at the same time, but once the guy stops drinking, so then that's a problem. Because of his, and I know it's funny, but it's true, because of his backwash.
It's gonna go back.
Meaning what's going to happen now is that he had some wine remaining on his lips. When he stopped drinking, that wine came off of his lips. The germs, we don't care about. I'm not a germ freak. The halacha is not germ freaks. We don't care about the germs. We do, however, care about the fact that that wine that actually touched his lips is now going back in. And that's the Ayin Nesach now getting mixed up with with the rest of the wine. And so once he stops drinking, you have to stop drinking as well. So it's funny, it's such a difficult psak to understand.
It's almost like electricity. Electricity can.
It's such a strange psak, because the moment he stops drinking, you have to stop drinking as well. I could have easily said, don't start, because
it's
a very.
Can only do.
Yeah, right. It's a difficult psak.
If there's a lightning coming at that moment, it's going to go to the sphere.
Right. Right. So, and the avakan pasuk avikochavim lo. And once again, now you ask me, why does Rabbeinu Tam argue with his grandfather Rashi? So here, it's just Danny just pointed out. Look, here's another case scenario where you could have easily made the argument need soak. And that means there's a flow, and he's creating the flow, right? It's a very strong argument by Rabbeinu Tam, right? The non-Jew is creating the flow, so that means now that the wine is coming up to his lips and sucking up to his lips, and so if you hold that a flow is considered a connector, so then the Yayin Nesach should go down into this bowl, and the punch bowl should be also the moment that there's a connection. And you see over here, based on the Psak of Rava, that we disregard the connection.
No, but it's flowing the wrong way. It's flowing the right way.
Right. So you're right. So you have to. Very good. Right, Aaron. That's excellent. So you're going to make a distinction where if the flow goes down, so then it connects back up. Over here, his flow is opposite of gravity. He's flowing upwards. Okay. Excellent. And I guess maybe we could say that in Rashi's defense. Good. All right. Very good. Ramba bar Rav Huna ikla lebe reish galusa. When the last two lines of the page. Rava Bar Rav Huna went to the house of the Reish Galusa, Sharlu Lamishte B'Kenishkinin. Oh boy, did I do such a good job pronouncing that. So they went to the house of the Reish Galusa, and they did actually permit the drinking from this punch bowl, the communal punch bowl. Ike the Amre, Rava Bar Rav Huna Gufa Ishte B'Kenishkinin. And according to some versions, he drank from the punch bowl himself. It's a great little tosis over here. Look at the top Tosfos on Ein Gimel Amid Aleph. It's great. Tema. Tosfos says, I'm bothered by the second version of the Gemara. Heicha yashoseh b'kenishkenin, nihidolo havechibor mikom akom hayalolochosh, dilma pasikad nebereisha ovikochavim. It's exactly what I was worried about. In other words, Tosfos says, look, Rabba Bar Rav Huna, really, you're flirting with danger. Because when you drink from the communal punch bowl, the moment the non-Jew stops drinking, so now the backwash goes back in. It's now Yayin Esach. So how can Rava Bar Rav Huna drink from it? Although technically it's okay while everyone's sucking up, but the moment that he stops, the non-Jew stops, it's going to be Aser. So Tosha says, I just have a difficult time imagining that, you know, you flirt with an Iser, especially someone on the caliber of Rava Bar Rav Huna. Upirish Rach, next part of Tosfos also is great. The Lamayri Imar v'Kochavim. So Rabbeinu Chananel says, according to the second version, it's not the pshat that he drunk from this communal punch bowl with a non-Jew. That's not the pshat. Ela shehayisho same yisrael bekinishkinin. So he drank it. He was drinking with another Jew. So then you'll tell me. So then what's the issue? So you're reporting to me that he drank from a communal punch bowl, and he was drinking with another Jew, and that doesn't need a report. In other words, we don't need to know that information. What halachic ramifications are we dealing with over here? And the Gemara is not there just to tell us stories. So the im tamer im ken my kamash malan. Next part of Tosfos. Ye shlamer the kamash malan the lo mitzvah is manazem mishum simcha. Tosfos says, you know, you could have made the argument that after the destruction of the temple, we're not allowed to have an abundance of joy. Right? We really need to curtail all the joy. The Shulchan Aruch, the halacha, is very clear about certain things that you need to do in order to diminish one's joy since the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. And so there is this type of communal punch bowl. There's a tremendous amount of simcha involved in such a item. So you might have thought that from that standpoint it should be forbidden, and that's what the Gemara here is telling us, that it's that from that standpoint it's acceptable. Okay, good. All right, we're about to embark on one of the more basic discussions, but before we do that, quickly let's just review the last sugya that we did, really important sugya about nitzok, about a flow, whether it's considered a connection or not. So in the Gemara itself, the Gemara is unclear about its conclusion. Rav Huna maintained that it is considered a connection, flow is considered a connection. The Gemara does not firmly conclude whether it is or it isn't. Rashi, based on the advice given by Rav Chista to his wine pourers, Rashi says the halacha is that a flow is considered a connection. Because Rav Chista says to his wine pourers, make sure that when you pour, you don't pour it with a continuous stream, but rather you have to make breaks. Make sure there are breaks when you pour into the vessel of a non-Jew. And Rashi says, you know why he says that? Because if there was a continuous stream, when it pours into the vessel of the non-Jew, so now it becomes Yain Nesach. The Yain Nesach works its way up the flow and now renders your entire vessel Yain Nesach. So Rashi therefore concludes that Nitzok is considered a Chibur. His grandson, Rabbi Natam, disagrees with his grandfather. I showed you two Gemaras that indicate that we don't conclude that way. The Shulchan Aruch says that you should be machmir, like Rashi. And the Rif also is machmir as well. That a flow is considered a connection vis-a-vis Yain Nesach.
In comparison to mikveh and what's called, is that neshika it's called?
Yeah, that's right. That's,
so we consider that a connection, no?
That we do consider that a connection, but that's not a flow. Meaning, in the case of neshika, they're actually... The body of water that connects them is a stable body of water. Here, we're talking about water starting from this point and that point, and the water is coming down. So, in other words, you have to fight the flow in order for it to go back up again. And in the world of mikvah, we don't say that. But
what is that Ramban position?
Like the Rif. He follows the Rif and the Shulchan Aruch.
That
it is a connection in the world of Yai Nesach.
And for Tumah also?
And for Tumah Tahara, no. It's not. In other words, the Gemara, that's why I started off this morning. The Mishnah and Taharos is very clear. It's not a connection for Tum and Tahara. Although it is a connection for Yai Nesach, and you'll have to say that by Yai Nesach we're just more stringent.
And for Shari, it's a connection?
Doesn't seem like it's a connection.
I just was wondering, maybe it's a connection. When I noticed when some Hasidim make Kiddush, and pour the wine in the glass, they don't do it in one...
Oh yeah, like that.
Stop, yeah, no. I don't know if it's
interesting. Interesting.
Something.
Right.
Ask my son about it.
Ask him. Yeah,
you're supposed to be the only for
non-Jews.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. But I noticed he doesn't.
They should have a large supply of Kanishkanins.
Right. In other words, it is very strange because. You know, as I pointed out earlier, the Pesach of Rav is just difficult to understand. The moment he stops drinking now, you know, the Yain Nesach flows back and that's it, it's done. The communal punch bowl is...
You have to read, so I mean...
It's over.
There's no way to...
All right. We get onto a very, very fundamental discussion over here about Taharovis. Okay, let's go over what we know. Yain Nesach, wine that was libated by a non-Jew, It's takrovis avodah zara. It's offered to avodah zara. It's prohibited. Absolute prohibition. Both, you're not allowed to drink it. It's asur b'shtia, and you're not allowed to benefit from it. It's asur b'hana'a. If that wine gets mixed in with other wine, it will render the mixture prohibited, regardless of ratio. So you can have 1 to 2, 1 to 5, 1 to 100, 1 to 1,000. It doesn't matter. A drop will render the tarovis prohibited. This does not conform with the general rules of tarovis, of mixtures. When you have a mixture, a tarovis, we usually say bitul, we usually say that it's subject to being nullified. In the case of Yain Nesach, it is never going to be nullified. And the reason is because Yain Nesach is so chamor, it's so stringent, it touches on the principle of Avodah Zarah, so therefore the rabbis inhibited bitul. They said that there's never going to be nullification. Good. That is the basic overview of the Mishnah. One more point before we embark on the Mishnah, and that is min b'she'eno mino. What if the Yain Nesach goes into another liquid? Not wine, but water or any other liquid that does not share the same taste as the wine, so then it will be subject to bittul. If you have a ratio so that you no longer are able to taste the Yain Nesach, so then it's subject to bittul. We, of course, know, as we concluded just a couple of days ago, that ratio is 1 to 60. The Mishnah never uses the words 1 to 60. That the Gemara uses. The Mishnah always uses the terminology of no same time. Does it give off a taste? Because really the issue is taste. Once you can no longer taste it, so therefore it's as if it's not there. Okay? So, once again, wine getting mixed in, min bimino versus min b'she'eno mino. Min bimino means it goes into a liquid with the same taste. So that means yai nesach getting mixed in with other wine. Min b'she'eno mino means dissimilar tastes. Wine goes into water or any other liquid that does not share the same taste. Good. Yain nesach aser v'oser b'chol shehu. The Mishnah starts off. Ayin gimel amud aleph. Wine gets mixed up. It is forbidden. And it's oser b'chol shehu, and it prohibits mixtures with any amount. Yain b'yayin, umayim b'mayim b'chol shehu. Whether wine gets mixed up with wine, or water gets mixed up with water. Water is interesting. Right, Rashi, it's the only Rashi on the Mishnah. Water that was libated towards Avodah Zarah. You'll say to me, I never heard this before, water getting libated to Avodah Zarah. And I'll say to you, agreed. I never heard of this before either. But still, in principle, if water was used as nisuch towards the Avodah Zarah, that water becomes prohibited. It's not normal. Water is usually not the liquid of libation. Okay, good. It's not normal. But still, water could be rendered Avodah Zarah. Water, right? Yeah, we say Yai Nesach. I guess in the case of water, we'll call it Mayim Nesach. And if that water gets mixed up with other waters, at any ratio, it creates iser. Next part of the Mishnah, yayin b'mayim, umayim b'yayin b'no sing tam. Ze'aklal min b'mino b'mashu, u'shelo b'mino b'no sing tam. And so the Mishnah lays down the fundamental rule that when you have wine getting mixed up with other wine, at any ratio, it's going to be prohibited. Wine getting mixed with water, a ratio of nesinas tam. If the ratio is such that you can't taste the wine anymore, the wine is going to be permitted. Good. And again, we all know the ratio is 1 to 60. Shishim. Ki azar avdim am rav yochan amari yayin etzim mechafas labor afilu kol yam kulo rishon bato. Rav Dimi quotes in the name of Yochanan an unbelievable chiddush. He says that if I pour yayin nesach from a barrel into a cistern, right, the bore, bore is a hole in the ground, when they would want to store large quantities of wine for a long period of time, they would simply dig a hole in the ground, they would plaster the hole so that, you know, there's no leaking, seal the hole, and then they would pour wine to it. This is what's called the bore. This is a cistern. If I poured from a barrel, yayin nesach, into a cistern, and the cistern already had wine in it, kosher wine in it, So it's called in the name of Rav Yochanan, it's fine. Okay, why? Because for every drop that goes in, it becomes bottle. Okay, it's such an unbelievable chiddush, it's so difficult to understand. And then immediately the Gemara jumps on this chiddush of Rav Yochanan, Tanan. How do you understand our Mishnah? Our Mishnah says very clearly that any amount of Yain Esach that gets mixed up with other wine renders the mixture forbidden. So how do you understand our Mishnah? So my love de kanafel isur lego heitera, lo de kanafel heitera lego isura. So the Gemara offers the pshat. You know what you could do? You could limit our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is talking only about a case where the heter goes into the isur. But if the isur goes into the heter, drop by drop, it becomes batal. Okay? Rashi says, we don't conclude this way, but it is a way to defend Rav Yochanan. Tashma, again, the Gemara challenges. Yayin b'mayim b'nos in tam. So when wine falls into water, if the ratio is that the wine gives taste into the water, the water will be asr. My love de kanafa chamer de yisur lamay de heitera. Now, what are you imagining over here? Aren't we talking about a case where prohibited wine is falling into permissible water? So unlike what you just said, that the only time it's going to be asr is that when that which is permissible goes into that which is prohibited, but now you're telling me, no, that's not what the Mishnah is saying. So the Gemara's response is, lo de kanafa chamer de heitera lamay de yisura. No, the Mishnah is talking about a case where permissible wine was poured into prohibited water. The Gemara says, just read on in the Mishnah. So wine going into, water going into wine, but no Saint Tom. So again, Rav Dimi in defense of Rav Yochanan would say like this. Look, the whole Mishnah is where Heter is going into Isser. In defense of Rav Yochanan, what Rav Dimi suggests is that the entire Mishnah from beginning to end, the common denominator is where when something mutter goes into something asr. But if I reversed, if something asr is getting poured into something which is mutter, even if it's yayin nesach, the resulting mixture is going to be permissible. Why? Because every drop that goes in becomes batal. Okay. This is the first report of Rav Yochanan. Rashi himself points out, we don't accept this. This is not the accepted halacha. But it is a report sent in the name of Rav Yochanan. Okay? Difficult. Difficult to understand. Ki asar Rav Yitzchak by Yosef am Rav Yochanan. The Gemara gives us another report of what was said in the name of Rav Yochanan. If I dropped in a little amount of nesech wine into a big barrel, and the drops come in a little, one drop at a time, kama batel. Similar to what was said by Rav Dimi, drop by drop it becomes batel, so that the resulting mixture is going to be fine. If, however, this is not as big a chiddush as what Rav Dimi says, because even in this report of Rav Yochanan, if you're pouring from a barrel, so that the stream that comes in is a strong stream of yayin esach wine, the resulting mixture is going to be forbidden. Okay.
I mean, if drop by drop comes, but to the saturation point, at some point that the taste changes.
Right. I remember my titration days from biology.
So the mixture, so what happens? I mean, at some point the mixture should be not permitted.
Correct. So if you understand Bittel, that the Yayin Esach drops that go in are totally nullified. Nullified meaning it changes, it converts. So then there's not going to be a titration point.
So you could potentially come up with
the conclusion,
same wine that you have, with like instead of 90% being water, 90% being wine.
You can convert, if this logic is correct,
right,
and you're understanding it very good, if this logic is correct, you can take Yayin Esach and you can convert it.
Right.
Correct.
Well,
Correct.
Just go to the mikveh.
The conversion of Yain Nesach. Now Phil's point is very good. In general, we do not allow the bittul of Isurim Lechatchila. All this is describing a what if it happened. What if it happens? An after the fact position, right? Bidiavad. This is not Lechatchila. That's one point to consider. And the other point to consider is, like what Rashi said, these svaras that of Rav Dimi and Rav Yitzchak, even though they're both quoting Rav Yochanan, Rashi says we don't follow them. And the reason why we don't follow them is because of the upcoming Gemara that we're about to read. Ki asa Ravin amar Rav Yochanan. Ravin now quotes Rav Yochanan to say the following. Excuse me. Yain esach shenafal abor, v'nafal sham kiton sham mayim. Okay. This is a difficult concept, and not as difficult as what we just read, right? The first concept of bittul is unbelievable, like Dr. Zaghi says, right? Even though drop by drop, it becomes bittul, even though you're going to get to the right bizarre conclusion that you can have a preponderance of Yain Nesach and it's all fine because it becomes bottle drop by drop. Here, in this report of Rav Yochanan, this is Ravin quoting Rav Yochanan, he says it like this. Look, if Yain Nesach goes into wine, it's Aser. Okay? End of that discussion. Good. Like the simple reading of our Mishnah. Really, Ravin conforms much better to the simple read of our Mishnah. That Yayin Nesach is Oser B'mashehu. Any amount of Yayin Nesach getting mixed up with other wine creates Tarovis of Isser. A mixture of Isser. Good. But here's what Ravin says. Here's what you can do. Again, not Lechatchila. None of this is Lechatchila. But here's what you can do. You can take that mixture, have water be poured in, and then do the following. Now this is what we're going to call consciously ignoring part of the mixture, right? All that wine in there is a mixture of Yain Nesach and Yain Heter. Let's do the following. Let's ignore all the wine, all the Mutter wine. Let's just isolate the Yain Nesach in there, in that mixture. Good? Couple drops of Yain Nesach. And what I'm going to do now is that when water is being poured into the mixture, I'm going to say, look, you know what water does to Yain Nesach? As long as there's enough water so that it would negate the taste of the Yain Nesach, the water is mevatel the Yain Nesach. What Ravin is reporting in the name of Rav Yochanan is that would work even if the two of them are in a large container of wine. Right? I'll read this again inside. It's a difficult concept. Yain Nesach shenafal abor v'nafal sham kiton shamayim. If I had Yain Nesach that goes into a pit. Okay, so we're starting off, right, with the first two ingredients being a pit of Yain Heter and a couple drops of Yain Nesach that fall in. At this point in time, what do we say? The mixture is prohibited. V'nafal sham kiton shamayim. And then someone subsequently adds in a little bit of water afterwards. I say a little bit, I mean enough to mevatel the Yain Nesach. Rowan is the heter kiilu eino. What you can do now is you can consciously ignore all the wine in the pit, and so that just isolates the Yain Nesach. The hashar mayim rabin alavu mevatlan osal. And now you could say, well, the water is going to be mevatel the Yain Nesach. Okay. It's almost like, if you want to try to imagine this, it's almost like the water is like on a seek and destroy mission. Meaning that water now is able to find just the Yain Nesach that's in this mixture,
break it up,
right, dissipate it, and the mixture is going to be fine. Okay, again, it's a difficult concept to digest.
Break it up?
Not break it up, but negate its taste. Okay, he also Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yudah Rav Yochanan lo shana lo shana for kitor shamayim tchila avalona for sham kitor shamayim tchila matzah minas mino v'neyur. Oh, the Gemara brings down a modification, a qualification. This only works if the water fell in first. Meaning, large cistern of kosher wine, water goes in, and then the couple drops of Yain Nesach go in afterwards. Now what we could say is, ignore all the wine, just look at the water and the couple drops of Yain Nesach. Water could be mevalta the Yain Nesach, good. But if what happens is first a couple drops of Yain Nesach fall in, no. Because what then happens is that the entire cistern now becomes a cistern of Yain Nesach. The water that comes in subsequently is not going to be enough to be mevato. This is a modification of Rav Yochanan.
When the water goes in, adds to the kosher wine, what is the identity of that mixture? Is that considered water or Yain?
It's considered wine. It's considered wine. What Rav Yochanan is saying is that that water still retains its identity, even though you asked me, right? Because I know you're setting me up, but it's fine. You're asking me what's the identity of that mixture. So I know what to answer because it's mostly wine. So the identity is wine. What Rav Yochanan is saying is that the water is still there. And what the water can now do is that it can take those two drops of Yain Nesach. I don't know why. In my mind, it's two drops. But it can take the two drops of Yain Nesach and it can counteract it. Even though the identity of that mixture is wine. But the water is still there. That's...
The meaning of adding water for Shabbat Kiddush, could it be just for protection?
it's like cute. I don't think so. But I understand. Some people say that this isn't modifying Rav Yochanan, but rather this is going back directly on our Mishnah. Meaning, good. So exactly this qualification that wine only makes something prohibited if there's no water there in the mixture to counteract. But had there been water in the mixture to counteract, so then the water will counteract the Yain Esech drops that come in. Is there a difference whether or not you learn this qualification directly back on the Mishnah, which we just did, or you learn it on Ravin's report of Rav Yochanan? And the Gemara says, yeah, there's a very big difference. Exactly the issue that we just discussed. What if the water came in afterwards? Meaning, large cistern of wine, two drops of Yain Nesach that fall in. What if the water comes in afterwards? Can the water that comes in afterwards counteract the taste of those two drops of wine? If you follow Ravin's report, no. Rav's report of Rav Yochanan is it's not good. Why? So like I explained a little bit earlier. Because when the wine, Yain Nesach goes into the wine, it now becomes a totality of Yain Nesach. The little water that you pour in afterwards isn't going to help. If, however, you go back to the Mishnah, you learn on the Mishnah, even though you pour the Yain Nesach in first, the water that comes in afterwards can go and can attack the Yain Nesach and negate the taste of the Yain Nesach. Okay. Let's go on. Itmar. Yain Nesach shenafal abor v'nafal sham kito shamayim. Okay, Yain Nesach falls into a pit of wine. The wine obviously was mutter. And then water comes in afterwards. Amar Chizkiya, higdilu be'isr aser, higdilu be'heter mutter. So, in the name of Chizkiya, it is said, no, I'm sorry, Chizkiya says, okay, that higdilu be'isr, if the last thing that goes in is isr, so then it's aser, but beheter mutter. But if the last thing that went in was heter, so then it's going to be mutter. Rashi explains what he means by that is that if the look at the second Rashi on the page, shenafa yain heter b'sof. Let's say it was first yain nesach, then water, which negated the taste of the yain nesach, and then Yain Heter comes in, that would be fine. Why? Rashi writes, "Kvar bito Yain Esach b'mayim shamayim rabo la bios levado mevat lo legarmi shuvein chozer v'nir." And the wine that comes in afterwards is not going to resuscitate the Yain Esach that was in there. Okay, that's the opinion of Chizkiah. Rav Yochanan Amar Afilu Higdilu Be'Isser Mutter, and Rav Yochanan goes one step further, meaning even if the thing that comes in at last is the heter, it can counteract the Yai Nesach that's there. Okay.
No, that's just what that's the same thing that Chizkiah said.
I'm sorry. Even if I'm sorry.
Increase the forbidden.
Right. Even if, in other words, you have the two wines, the Isser and the Heter, and even if the water comes in afterwards, it would still be mutter. That's like what Rav Yochanan reported earlier. Okay. What the Gemara is going to try to do, and I'll tell you right away, it's not going to be successful in doing so, is it's going to try to create a parallel between this machlokis of Chizkiah and Rav Yochanan and another machlokis that we've seen already a couple of times in the Masechta between Rav Elazar and the Chachamim. Did not. We learned. It's a Mishnah. It's the Mishnah in our law. Let's say I have sourdough. Sourdough of chulin and truma that fall into a batch of dough. Neither of them are enough in order to create chimutz. Then it starts with a chimtzu. But they combine and they create chametz. Rabbi Lazar Omer Acher Acher and Ani Bav Chacham Omerim Bein Shenafel Iser B'Tchila Bein B'Sof Eino Aser Ashiyeh Bo Kedei Lachmetz. Rabbi Lazar and the Chachamim disagree as to whether or not the combined sourdoughs of Chulin and Truma are going to render the dough Aser. The Chachamim's position is no, it's not going to render the dough Aser. Rabbi Lazar's position is it depends which goes in first and which goes in last. Now, we know, because we've seen this before, that over here on this issue, the issue over here is a bigger issue of Zevzegorim. When I have two agents that create something, right? Like we discussed earlier, fertilization and soil, Zevzegorim. Here as well, two sourdoughs acting as a leavening agent. We maintain, like the Chachamim, Zevzegorim is mutter. That's the issue over here. The Gemara is trying to make an attempt to say that this machlokas parallels the previous machlokas of Chizkiah and Rav Yochanan. The Gemara immediately rejects this. So we also happen to know that Abaye explained to us that this position of Rabbi Elazar is only if the Truma sourdough is taken out first. However, if it's kept in, it will be aser. Chizkiah Adama, come on, Elahacha Baron Kemiflegi. The issue over here, says the Gemara, between Chizkiah and Rav Yochanan is the issue of rowing, like we discussed on the first side of today's daf. Can I consciously ignore part of the Ta'arovis? The Chizkiah Leif Leiron, Rav Yochanan Islay. Rav Yochanan holds to this concept of rowing, meaning that when I have a little bit of Yain Esach, a whole lot of Yain Heter, and water, I have the three ingredients. Can I ignore the wine? And I want to ignore the wine because I want the water and the Yain Esach to counteract one another. I want the water to counteract the wine. That's what I would like to happen. Rav Yochanan subscribes to this idea of Rowan, that I can consciously ignore part of the mixture so that the water and wine, the water will negate the wine. And then the Gemara just bangs its home. The Gemara says that their question was posed to Rav Yochanan that is based on the concept of Rowan. He didn't give an answer, and the Gemara says, "Mi karlo pashalei levesof pashalei." Correct. Initially, he didn't give an answer. Subsequently, he did give an answer. You have these two cups, they were diluted and they were poured one into another. What I can do is I can ignore the wine, just look at the truma and water, isolate those two components of the mixture, look at the water negating the taste of the truma wine, and you're good and you're fine. Okay? Period. So today, so far what we have seen is a very fundamental. We started off this morning by discussing about nitzok, about flow and being a connector. We concluded that Gemara. I told you about the machlokas between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, and then we talked today about yayin nesach being oster b'mashu. The first reports of Rav Yochanan is this concept of kama batil, that every drop that comes in is going to become batil. The Gemara seems to reject that position and goes to the position that no, we don't hold kama batil. And then we talk today about the big concept of roin, whether or not I could take a mixture and isolate and only look at some components of the mixture, but not all the components of the mixture. Rav Yochanan subscribes to this concept of roin, so that means that when I have a little yayin nesach getting mixed up with a lot of yayin heter, and there's also water in that mixture, I can look at the yayin nesach and the water and ignore the rest of the wine, and that's to my advantage, because then I would say the water negates the taste of the yayin nesach. Good. Stop over here. Tomorrow, pick it up from the two dots.